I chose the text and then I left on the calendar and I put the text for 2 weeks from now. That's fine.
I want to welcome all of you here on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, also those of you that have called in on our phone patch. We're going to open this morning with song number 157, Holy, 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 number 157. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's give thanks and pray. Gracious Father, we come before you once again in that name that has been given above every name, the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Father, that you have once again drawn us together in corporate worship, that we might look to those things that you have supplied. The greatest gift that you have given us is that gift of your Son, the gift of life eternal, through his work when he came to this world, when he, even though he was without sin, took upon himself our sin, paid that price on Calvary's cross, and then rose victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil in our behalf. So today, as we approach unto you, we can walk in that power of that Spirit that has brought forth the resurrection, not only of your Son, Christ Jesus, but has brought us to that place where we too can believe that we will rise again, that we will live in that place that you have prepared. For we know, Father, that it is out of your great love that you have sent forth your Son, that you have called mankind, and that you continue to send forth this precious message of the gospel. And so we pray, Father, today as the gospel goes forth into this world, that it might reach those hearts that would be in need For we know, Father, that it is your Spirit that works need within the heart and then supplies that gift of forgiveness, the gift of your love, the knowledge of your grace and your mercy that is able to secure a heart that is trembling and bring it to a place of rejoicing. We pray, Father, that you would work today within our hearts as we hear, desire to hear that word that is able to bring to us that which is not able only to give direction and guidance each and every day, but it is able to supply the peace and the comfort that you alone, through the work of your Holy Spirit and the gift of your Son, are able to bring to us here. We pray, Father, for our brother as he rises up to speak, that you once again would be that filling word into his heart that would supply him first with that peace, that assurance of your grace and of your forgiveness, and that through the power of the unction of the Spirit, the word might come forth in that truth that is necessary. We pray, Father, for the land that we live in, the leaders of this land, the discourse that goes on, Father, is something that we pray would be brought to an end. And we know there is only one way that can be brought to a place of peace, and that is through Christ Jesus. We know, Father, that it is incumbent upon each one of us that we might receive that word, and that we might be examples unto this world of that peace that resides within our hearts. Bring it into the hearts of those that lead not only this land, but the lands of the world. For we know that it is that message of the gospel that it is able to have free course, that is able to bring to each and every individual that will receive it that great gift and knowledge of your love. We know, Father, that there are many that are in times of difficulty, that struggle with infirmities of this body, of this life. Also, we know that there are things that we do not understand, the things of the mind and of the heart often are difficult for us to grasp, and yet you know them, Father. You know each one of us far more intimately than we know ourselves. And so we pray that that word might reach out to us, that we might receive, that we might know first and foremost of your great love. We find, Father, that we so often struggle with the sin that resides within us, and yet it is through that work that Jesus Christ has performed for us that we can find that the gospel has provided for us the forgiveness that out of your unconditional love that is able to extend even into this time and place that we walk each and every day. So bring to us that message of the gospel, Father, that great peace that is able to reside in the hearts of individuals. And now we pray that you would hear that word that Jesus himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue with song number 495, Day by Day, number 495. Thank you. day by day. Isn't that a marvelous gift that we have been supplied, knowing that God will supply His strength to us each and every day? Our psalm for today is Psalm 138, which is found on page 482 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 138, and it will read all eight verses, reading in Jesus' name. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for the great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Amen. What a marvelous plea we have from David. Psalm 138 and the next eight psalms are ascribed to David. We know that David had a life that was, you know, would seem to be a beautiful life, shepherd boy that was brought to be the king of Israel. And yet he went through many difficult times and dangers. Even as a shepherd boy, he had to go against a lion and a bear. And we know that he had to face Goliath, and he faced the nations that were around Israel as a king. There were many things that David no doubt struggled with, no different than each one of us. And yet what a blessing to have that faith that God is able to place within our hearts, that we can approach unto our God, that we can seek his guidance, his direction, for every moment, for the things that we go through on a daily basis. We have a promise here, as David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart, that we can go forth knowing that he hears our prayers. David says, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. An interesting expression, isn't it? Before the gods of the world. Those, you know, we have so much worship in this world because man is built to worship. And the gods can be things that we can't even begin to conceive that someone else has. It does not have to simply be an idol created by hand. It is anything placed before the worship and the love of the living God that we know. And David says, I will praise thee before the gods. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. You know, there we have a blessing when we find that we have need of the God of creation, of the God who has loved us so dearly that he sent his only begotten Son, that we desire to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is what God calls us to. He calls us to look to those things that are in his word. You know, David explains here, he says, in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthens me with the strength of my soul. All the kings of the earth will praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. You know, there is the anchor that we have, isn't it? This word, this scripture, this Bible that God has given to us. There's the anchor that we have that is consistent. It does not change. God has not revoked any of the words that he has spoken. His promises have been sure and true, and they continue to be. And we can trust them as David trusted them. Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. You know, no matter how weak and lowly we feel, no matter whether sin besets us or the ailments and difficulties of this life, we have a message from our God. The gospel is here to provide unto us the healing and the comfort, the forgiveness that God brings. How blessed is it that we might know the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ and his complete work, to know that name above every other name, and to know that his blood was shed on Calvary's cross that today we might live because he rose victorious over those things that condemn us, that bring fear into our hearts. Death itself has no more fear because we know that we have a God who has secured us, has provided for us, not only in this time, but for eternity. He desires that we would continue with him in eternity. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He will provide that peace. God will perfect in us, through Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that which is necessary to sustain us each and every day, to supply what we cannot supply for ourselves, to supply what the world around us cannot supply for us. We can turn to this word and we can know that we have a God that endures forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. When God created man, as we talked about in BBS this past week, God six times said that what he saw was good. But after he created man, he saw that it was very good. We have a God who continues to love us. He has provided for us that which we can't do for ourselves. He has brought us to that gift of salvation in his Son, Christ Jesus. And for that, we can thank and praise him each and every day, every moment of every day, and we can rejoice in his goodness toward us. Amen. We have with us Brother Kim Michelson and his wife Sue. We're thankful that they have been willing to come and share this time of fellowship with us. Brother Kim will bring the message here after we sing song number 725 from our supplement, God and God Alone. Number 725 from our supplement.
Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied unto each of you this morning. Amen. We, for a text this morning, are going to turn to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And beginning in the 22nd chapter and in your pew Bible, that is on page 764. And as I told Stan, I said, I hope it's okay that this text that I had chosen, afterwards I looked and it's on this calendar for 2 weeks from today. So he said it would be okay if we use this one today. So we're going to read Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22, and we'll read through verse 40, and we read it in Jesus' name. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving, thanking you for this blessed word that you have preserved throughout all time, thanking you for your Son Jesus, of whom we hear in this gospel message. And we ask, Father, that you would fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit through the speaking of this word, and preserve each one of us unto eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here a text which we might say coincided with the psalm that we had already heard, and the words that were mentioned, it seemed like they were so fitting to this text. And even though, as we have already heard, that there would have been another text that went along with that psalm, but we find that the gods of this world are so many. And we find in this first part, when he talks about care and anxiety, that the gods of this world are tearing at our own hearts. But we find here as Jesus, he begins this, and even beginning in the first part of this chapter, there were many people there, and Jesus had been teaching But at this time, he said in the first verse, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, and he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, he began to teach them. And it is not that Jesus was only teaching the multitude, but his disciples also. And as we go through, we find that Jesus is teaching about the things of this life, the gods of this world. And in the beginning, in the 13th verse, we read about this one that Jesus says that accumulated much wealth in this world. And Jesus is by no means saying that it is against his will to have wealth of whatever degree, but we thank God that he has given it to us and that we would then give it back to him. We would do his will. We would do those things that God has need of. And it's interesting when he talks about this rich man who had so much that he tore down his barns and built bigger barns, that he could contain it, never once thinking of where it came from and what benefit he could do with that wealth. And it's interesting how we hear of the one widow who gave her two mites, the most smallest part, but she gave her all. We'll find in our text where Jesus says to sell all that you have and give alms. He's not meaning that we would sell everything because in short time we would be in need of alms. But that he is making the point that what he has given us we would share. And he begins here now. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Doesn't it seem that our life is consumed, except for Sunday morning, with the cares of this life? Will I have enough? Will I have everything that I need? Will I be able to even supply the food that is necessary? And there's times in our lives that it may seem that it is quite short. But not one time have we ever went hungry. God has always supplied all of our needs. We have never, and I say we meaning mostly in the Western world, have never went without clothing. And it is unfortunate that we know that there are those in this world who have needs of these things. But in our culture, we have all that we need, no matter what our bank account is. But we are worried. It raises our anxiety levels. And Jesus is telling his disciples here, as I believe that multitude also were there, that to not worry. Don't worry about these things that you have need of. Your Father knows that you have need of them. He says, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. And it is interesting how Jesus, he begins this, and it is subtitled here, Care and Anxiety. And he goes through this, and then he comes to the important part. To seek the kingdom of God. But he is now here in this part where he says, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. You know, the ravens in that land in those days was a bird that had no value. It couldn't be eaten. It was useless. We know the other birds, the sparrows, they had value. But the ravens had no value. And Jesus says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. Isn't it amazing that this bird that has no value to the people, God cares for it. It is His creation, as we have already heard, that He created even the ravens. And He said it was good. But Jesus says, consider the ravens, how they do absolutely no preparation. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store up, and God cares for them. And then He ends that verse, how much more are ye better than the fowls? Is it possible that we can put our trust in God even as the raven does? God will care for each and every one of our needs. It is not to say that we would just maybe sit in our chairs at home and God will take care of us. It's not what He's saying. But no matter what happens in our lives, how maybe bad the economy could be, how low our bank account might be, God will always take care of us. He will supply our needs. Jesus doesn't say that He'll supply our wants, and they are many, and most of them have them. But God says that He will supply our needs, and He is faithful, and He does. Even as He has here said that He feeds the birds. And then He continues, and which of you with taking thought can add to His stature one cubit? How much will our worrying, will our thoughts, our anxieties, how much will they do for us? He says that with taking thought or with worrying can add to His stature one cubit, whether that be our bodily growth or whether it be our things that we have in this world, the needs of this world, whatever it may be, worrying will never give us more. And that is what it seems we tend to do, isn't it? We are always worrying, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get this or that from? But if we would remember to look to God, ask God for the needs that we have, and trusting that sometimes they are needs, or they are wants and not needs. And that God, in His infinite wisdom, gives us precisely everything that we have need of. And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? If you can't do the least thing, why are you worried about that which He says for the rest, for the needs? And Jesus, I think He is really leading up to this point, as He does in the latter part of our text, that we would recognize that God cares for us. And we wonder at times when we see sicknesses, that is God really? We begin to doubt. Is God really going to heal that sick person? We have all, I'm sure, that are here have seen loved ones die of cancer, health issues, and those ones that are close to us. We say, God. And I at this time am thinking of my younger sister. God, preserve her. She's too young to die. But we don't recognize God's perfect will. And it is hard for us when we have a loved one who is sick to say, Father, thy will be done. It is in our selfishness that we say, no, Father, heal the person, even the elders. My mom and dad, I don't want to see them die. And it's inevitable someday they will. But if we could turn to God and give Him, give it all to Him, and say, Thy will be done. That the cares and the anxieties that we have on this earth, we would give them to God. And that He cares for us. And He says that if you are not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. It's amazing, I'm sure every one of us have gotten a flower and looked closely at it and recognized the beauty and the impossibility that we could make something that wonderful. And there was in the land there in those days, the lilies that were in the field, and they were different than the ones we have today. And they grew, as it were, out of which would have appeared grass. And that's why he speaks of grass in our text. But this flower that was so beautiful, we're going to go back and we're going to read just a little bit about Solomon. And we're going to see the beauty that Solomon had. In chapter 10 of 1 Kings, it begins in the first verse, and when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices with very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half, which was not told me, thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard. You see that Solomon, he was, as we know, a wise man, very wise. God had given him wisdom, but he had so much that when the Queen of Sheba came, she said that she had not even heard the half of it. The apparel that they all had, even unto his servants, to the gold that they had on the things that they had, and much riches. And Jesus, he speaks of this as he says, Consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, they do absolutely nothing of their own. But God causes them to grow. And he says, And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon in all of his wisdom and glory and wealth was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Do you recognize where Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here, as he is us today, to put your cares upon Jesus? Don't try to do it yourself, because you will fail miserably. But give it to God. Give your problems to God. And it is so easy that we can at times say, well, I'm struggling with this sin or that sin, and I need to give it to God. I understand that. And so then we attempt to do that. And even there, we are also already making a mistake. Because we are saying, I will do it. We have to recognize that God gives all to us. He gives of His grace everything that we have need of, everything that we are struggling with, that He will heal us. And here we find these lilies, so beautiful. They had done nothing of their own. And we must recognize that we can do nothing of our own and be as beautiful as these lilies through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know it's hard to believe, but God the Father sitting on His throne in heaven, He's there, and He's looking at us as beautiful as these lilies. There is perfection when He sees us, because He's looking through the blood of His Son. And you see that it is now nothing that we have done, but it is everything that Christ Jesus has done. And He says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. That's where I made mention, the grass that the lilies grew out of, that grass was used that they would be able to burn, that they might cook their food. And so it says that this grass, which is today and tomorrow, is cast into the oven. How much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? How much more will God clothe us? And let's not always think of only our natural clothing, but He'll clothe us with righteousness through His Son Jesus. He will clothe us with a robe that is pure and white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is not something that we can make, not something that we can buy or acquire, but it is given to us. It is given to us through Christ Jesus. And He says, and seek not. He's already talked to those disciples and that multitude about the needs that they have. And now He says, and seek not ye that which ye shall eat, or that which ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Jesus is continually trying to get us to understand that in this life, we have to trust on Him, in Him. And it seems, I don't know, maybe some of you are different than me, but it is quite hard to spend much time thinking about these things. These things that are given from God. But our lives are consumed. And I hesitate to say the gods of this world, but many of them are. We are spending time thinking that in my younger age I must put away, that I might do as this rich man did when he had much he said that I will, how does he say it? And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. How many of us are striving for that same thing? But it is so important, no matter how much we might have in our barns or our bank accounts, that we would say, thank you, Lord Jesus. No matter how much or how small it may be, recognizing that we can stop worrying. He will take care of us. We see many, as it seems in our lives, the elders who are getting towards the end of their life, they have very little, and they're still cared for. The family, the friends, whatever it may be, they're still cared for. God feeds each one of them. Whether they have any money in their bank account, whether they have accumulated anything, God still provides for them. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That He will provide. Stop worrying and start looking. As he begins in the 31st verse, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. That is the most important thing. That is what will sustain us in this life. But backing up to verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So he's saying, stop worrying. Your Father knows that you have need of these. And then he says, but rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Day and night. Daily when we say our prayers, we are seeking the kingdom of God. But that our life would not be so consumed, but that there would not even be time for maybe a morning or an evening prayer. But that we would turn, that we would look, and we would seek God. And Jesus said, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything that you have need of, God will supply. And so often it seems that we look at God as someone who is a judge, who is going to judge us, and that we would be condemned, and that God has some maybe something against us. And it is that we don't recognize that God has nothing against us. And as it seems as we go through our life that, well, maybe God doesn't have anything against you others, but He does me. Because I know myself. I know the sins that I do. But I can give you assurance this morning that God loves each one of you more than you will ever understand. If we for a moment begin to think on what God has done for us, especially those of us who have had children, that I would give my son to suffer and die the death that Jesus has, we would all say, no, I wouldn't give my son for that. But God, in His love, gave His son to suffer and die beyond our comprehension. He suffered for our sins so that we can have comfort in knowing that our sins are forgiven. Not that we must do something. Not that we must go to a confessional or whatever we might think that we need to do. No. It is not what we can do, but what God has done for us. And so Jesus is teaching, and I think it is that he is teaching very strongly that all these things in this world that God knows you have need of, he has made them, he has created them, and he looked upon the world after creation and said it is good. The whole world. He said it is good. And he has made this world for his people. For all people. We must recognize that God, he loves all people. His son suffered for all people. Even that one that you might see drunk laying in the ditch. Yes, Jesus suffered for him also. And if he has suffered for all of the world, recognize that we are included in all of the world. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, meaning his kingdom. When Jesus says, "Seek the kingdom of God," that is what it is, his good pleasure that he will give us. And he does. He gives to each one of us of his kingdom. And there is a glorious day coming when we will rise and we will meet our Lord and Savior in the sky, and he will bring us to that place where he sits with his Father in his throne, as Jesus tells us that we will also sit with him in his throne. What a beautiful day that will be when we see Jesus. When we arrive to our